This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bunker Hill, Gettysburg, Normandy. They mean something. Bill Martinez, live.
Since the last update, we have gotten better access to the building. We have cleared the building. And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties.
Is it just because it's a diverse club and he hates diverse people? You know, there's a lot of domestic terrorists we classify that do that. They're rooted in white hate movements. And so it could be that.
ISIS would do this to 100 million Americans if they could.
So would white nationalists.
No one could have predicted this. No one could have prepared for it. This could have happened anywhere. It's like a lightning.
Wherever you are, I believe the heart does go on.
We don't have any dialogue going on in America about all of these mass shootings that have occurred.
We're not getting to the core issue, which is how easy it is to get a gun. I mean, Florida happens to have the largest gun-owning population in the country and some of the most lax laws as to how you can get your hands on even an assault rifle.
And I got to tell you, you know, over 25 years ago, I believed that in this country, we should not be selling automatic weapons which are designed to kill people.
Hillary Clinton has a very strong gun control program. Trump? He's tethered to the NRA.
You know, we're having this debate about terrorism or domestic. It doesn't make any difference. Guns are really easy to get their hands on, and that's the debate that ought to be going on.
It's not really time for any sensational news, just rushing to judgment.
What's breathing life into ISIS around the world is this sense, this rhetoric that's coming from prominent politicians that confirms their view of the world.
Just one time and last for a lifetime and never let go till
And clearly there's a place today in this dialogue for us to talk about the tone and temperament of our national leaders.
And if we just understand that all of the hateful thoughts become hateful words, become hateful actions, and if maybe in the course of this after what happened, that we will just, the temperatures will go down.
Was your son radicalized in any way that you know of?
No. No, he was taking care of his family, going to work. He doesn't have even a beard.
Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. It's Bill Martinez, and that is a flavoring of sentiment that has bounced around since the Orlando shooting, the worst massacre in our history. Obviously, we are processing, and part of the process is being able to, you know, to be able to talk about it. And I'm sure you're talking about it, whether it's at work, at home, what you would have done, and along with it, of course, come the potential answers and solutions. But as we said before, you know, I feel like we're all blindfolded, feeling different parts of the elephant. But, you know, there has to be some cooperation and respect for each other's perspective. And not quickly jump to, you know, solutions. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is Ramadan. There was a jihad call and specifically said Orlando. and they were able to accomplish that. The conversation continues. Stay with us, America.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything: your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez back with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and as we said, the sentiment and the whole emotions of Orlando running quite thick. And, of course, our hearts, our prayers continue with the family members affected. All have been contacted. The news reports say they are aware of the loss of their loved one. Those that are in the hospital, some like 53, there are still, I think, five or six whose situation is still very critical. And right now the count stands at about 50-51 dead as a result of the Orlando shooting. With us right now, Jamie McIntyre, Senior Defense and National Security Writer for the Washington Examiners. Jamie, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Beautiful day here in Washington, despite the sad circumstances.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jamie, this mass shooting at an Orlando nightclub, the manifestation, as you write, of law enforcement's most dreaded nightmare scenario, what you would call a lone wolf hitting a soft target with no warning, right?
Exactly right. I mean, there's a lot of discussion now about whether or not the U.S. should have seen this coming. After all, this guy had been on the FBI's radar. He had been investigated for a 10-month period, interviewed twice in 2013 and 2014. They not only interviewed him, they followed him. They tried to monitor his communication. They even had undercover people try to feel him out to see if he would really act on any of the things that he had said. But at the end of the day, they didn't really find anything. They didn't find any actual links to any terrorist groups. And, you know, in the United States, you can't arrest people for just, for possibly going to commit a crime. You actually have to commit a crime. They did, however, put him on the terrorist watch list for a period of time. That should have been a red flag as well. But there really was... This guy has turned out to be quite a complicated character. We don't really know what was going through his head. Turns out he was frequenting this gay nightclub in Orlando.
I thought that was quite interesting that we find out now that he was, he frequented the club himself.
So there's two things going on there. Either he was casing the joint and trying to find out exactly, casing the target, or perhaps he had some, personal conflicted feelings about his own sexual identity and being a Muslim and the Islamic religion, that considering homosexuality a sin. Was he dealing with something like that as well? They're still trying to piece together who this guy was. And as they go through his childhood and look at things, it turns out he was bullied. He was somewhat ostracized. He seemed somewhat conflicted. There are conflicting accounts of how he reacted to the September 11th attack. Mm-hmm. He was in a school for children with personality problems. So he's a quite complex figure. And at this point, there's still no evidence that shows that he was part of any network, that he was actually in contact with ISIL or ISIS in Iraq or Syria or any of the parent organizations. it does appear he acted on his own, and not even his closest friends or family saw it coming.
Well, yeah, his father, to hear his father comment, said that he could not perceive anything like this going on in his son. But certainly when you start getting the information of his upbringing and you start seeing these flags, I mean, at one point, I think somebody reported that in fifth grade he had threatened to shoot the school up. So his ex-wife said that he had some mental disorders, and you know, now they're saying there could be some bipolar relationship here. But again, you know, this is part of the thing. You start connecting the dots, and you consider some mental illness and automatic weapons. Those two do not fare well for anybody who comes in contact with that kind of prescription.
Well, you know, and his father is kind of an interesting character as well. We're learning more about him. You know, he's from Afghanistan, and we're not quite sure when he left. But he can be seen on some YouTube videos that are barely watched, talking about his connections with Afghanistan and acting as if he's a very important key analyst and even perhaps a political figure. He apparently has some ties with the Taliban. But the, you know, the shooter, Omar Mateen, seems also a bit confused. The FBI said yesterday when he claimed responsibility and variously claimed pledged allegiance to ISIS, but then also said something about al-Nusra, the al-Nusra
right.
front, which, by the way, is battling ISIS in Syria. And when the FBI interviewed him, he also told co-workers that he was part of Hezbollah, which is, again, a Shia group, and ISIL is a Sunni group. He didn't even seem to know the difference between these groups. He didn't appear to be a devout Muslim either. He didn't grow a beard or, regularly attend the mosque. So he's really kind of a question mark at this point. What was really going on in his head that he felt like he had to go to this nightclub and kill as many people as he could?
Well, Jamie, as you say, his father even said, well, you know, he didn't grow a beard, so somehow that would have pointed toward radicalization. I didn't realize that was one of those characteristics.
Well, I think it's a characteristic of being a very devout religious Muslim. They tend to grow, the more devout sects of Muslims tend to grow beards, just like, by the way, some of the more devout, sects of Judaism.
Right, exactly.
You know, they're not necessarily an indication of radicalization, but an indication that, you know, a devotion to his religion. So I guess what the point is, he didn't seem particularly religious for him to have claimed, you know, this devout allegiance to ISIL in the 911 call he made the night of the shooting.
Well, this is only absolute, an idea that you throw out there, and you wonder, here you find out that he was a regular at the club. Here he is. He's very conflicted, his understanding of the different terror groups and who's fighting who and who he's pledging allegiance to. Some might suggest that maybe shooting up this club was going to offer some sort of redemption for his own inclinations.
Well, you know, who knows? That's the question. What was going on in his mind? What really motivated him? And of course, you know, it's already become a major part of the political debate. Everybody's pointing fingers at causes. Donald Trump is saying that the problem is we let his family in to begin with back when we let Muslims into the country. Donald Trump said that. Of course, the Democrats, Hillary Clinton, are pointing to the lax gun control laws. Hillary Clinton said, you know, someone who is barred from getting on a plane ought not to be able to get a gun, especially, and then of course, with the whole renewed debate about the assault weapons ban that
yes.
was in effect for a while and expired in 2004, whether they should limit the high capacity magazines and the semi-automatic weapons that are capable of inflicting so much carnage at a time. So, you know, as even as people say, well, we don't want to make this political, you know, it's time to embrace the community, and it's already become a very hot political issue. And again, as people say, it's too soon, we don't want to speculate. It's human nature to try to put these pieces together and try to figure out what really happened here. The bottom
exactly.
line is people don't know.
Exactly. Jamie McIntyre, Senior Defense National Security Writer for the Washington Examiner. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on Bill Martinez Live.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Bill Martinez, live.
Tambourine with a silver jangle.
And we will sail away on the wings of love into the night.
They never have I known it when it felt so good. Never have I known it when I knew I could. Never have I done it when it looked so right. Leaving Louisiana in the broad daylight.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, why not? Given the choice, good day, bad day, let's make it a great day. Why not, huh? 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Lance LaRusso joins us now. a leading attorney, former law enforcement officer, author of the books Peacemaking and When Cops Kill. Lance, thank you so much for coming on. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Bill. Doing well.
Hey, I'll tell you, a lot of emotions, a lot of ideas as people are trying to process what happened in Orlando. And you bring up a point, and this is what I think is the challenge that we have here, is not to overreact. And the question that you ask in one of your recent articles is, does Orlando justify the militarization of law enforcement?
Right, and it's an interesting point. I heard today on the news people have seen that now in future to be iconic picture of the Kevlar helmet the officer was wearing, the SWAT officer was wearing when he took a round to the head. He went home to his family because he was wearing that, and that type of equipment, heavy body armor, rifles, combat boots, military-style uniforms, and helmets have been criticized by the absolute ignorant people who are trying to criticize law enforcement, saying it's not necessary. And obviously we see that it's necessary. Another thing that was criticized was APC, armored personnel carriers. There was a Bearcat used to knock holes in the hallways and to transport people back and forth and to rescue people, just like was done in San Bernardino.
Exactly.
And we actually have some of the vacuous logic saying, well, the president's program is not trying to ban law enforcement officers from having Bearcats. It's not covered. That's absolutely 100% not true. Mm-hmm. Those Bearcats cost $300,000 to $400,000 per item. But the 1033 program, the military surplus, allows those agencies to obtain armored personnel carriers, same as the Bearcats, for a fraction of the cost just based on the shipping and refurbishing them. So having that equipment there, allowing officers to practice with it on a monthly basis, is what saved the lives in Orlando.
Well, I think that people need to understand is that the bad guys are arming up. I mean, the equipment is there, and you know, even though some would say, look, that needs to be outlawed, let's cut down the number of magazines, it's not going to stop the bad guys from, you know, historically, we've seen this happen time and again. You know, Lance, I was in Los Angeles when I saw the police overwhelmed there. And this was a great eye-opener, I believe, for law enforcement. And it should have been for everybody when you had these guys in military outfits and they were Kevlar'd up, automatic weapons, and the Los Angeles police. I mean, I can still see the firefights in the street and how the police was overwhelmed by that.
Yeah, the Hollywood bank robbery. I mean, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was you know, something that changed the way law enforcement looked at things. And the bottom line is we have people that are complaining about a terrorist attack and complaining everything from somebody bringing in issues that have nothing to do with this, somebody with mental illness getting a hold of a firearm. The bottom line is we're getting misinformation. We're being told that a person who's on an FBI watch list can purchase a firearm and there's nothing anybody can do about that. That's just blatantly false. Mm-hmm. When you purchase a firearm through a licensed dealer, you're given a background check. The NCIC, the National Crime Information Center, has a database that allows the prevention of a purchase of a firearm and also the notification of the whereabouts of a person. So, you know, the notion that this firearm was chosen because it, you know, it can kill a lot of people. The bottom line was that man could have killed a lot more people with an IED, which is easier to make than going and buying a firearm. And that's part of the terror. By using this, he's turning people against themselves as Americans. This should be something people should be uniting about. And what I have not heard anybody talk about is the fact that no one is saying, well, you know, this was a community that has been targeted by other people. The bottom line was these were Americans who were targeted. Not a single person I have read about has said anything other than this was a terrorist attack on our soil and
needs to
be dealt with appropriately.
You're right. And the thing is that he did purchase these guns legally. He worked for a security company. You know, there, even though he was being watched and he was on a watch list, I don't know about his no-fly capabilities. Obviously, he was able to go to Afghanistan with Saudi Arabia, I think, a couple of times during this period of time. So if he was on a watch list, it wasn't a very strict one. They were just kind of, you know, just keeping their eyes on him from what I could tell.
Right. And, you know, that's the other thing. When this first started, people were talking about it's an active shooter, it's another active shooter. This was not an active shooter. I've been an active shooter instructor for years now. And active shooter situations typically are done in about 4 minutes. Places like Virginia Tech were an anomaly. They took longer than that. the shooter either kills themselves or is shot quickly by law enforcement or a private citizen that's armed, and that has happened several times, whether it's off-duty law enforcement or a private citizen. When you have a person who wreaks havoc and kills a bunch of people and then takes hostages and waits for the entry team, mm-hmm. that is terrorism. And those brave officers who went in there, first I will say those were warriors, not guardians. And that's one of the things that is getting lost in this mix. But those officers who went in there had to determine whether or not he had a suicide belt, whether he had IEDs where he could kill all the hostages, just waiting for someone to come in. So, you know, what we are seeing is a proof, as I've stated, everything from, like I said, the combat boots to the uniforms. Law enforcement officers are the first line of defense against terrorist attacks in the United States. Mm-hmm. We have a posse comitatus. We cannot call the special forces. We can't call the SEALs. And for people to criticize the uniforms officers are wearing or because they look too militaristic, especially when they respond to these situations, is just naive. And we need to stop letting people who are ignorant try to control the training and equipment that's provided to law enforcement.
Lance, as a former law enforcement officer yourself, how frustrating is it for an officer when they find themselves in a situation where there are hostages and you have already so many injuries taken place and the potential that more could happen, and you're standing down for what boiled down to about 3 hours that these officers had to sit out on the perimeter and, as you say, rightfully assess the situation because you didn't know what all was involved here. And meanwhile, you've got hostages being murdered.
It is about the worst case scenario for law enforcement. They run towards bullets when everybody else is running away.
Exactly.
And that tactic of waiting for law enforcement to respond is not new. In the 1990s, there was a bomber in Atlanta who bombed an abortion clinic. And about 10 minutes after the first bombing, a bomb went off in a dumpster. And it was designed to take out as many first responders as possible. So we've learned, we know how difficult that is, but there's also things that can be done during that 3 hours so far as gaining resources, gaining intelligence. And it's obvious that what happened was those officers were creating a game plan and executing it very well. You know, the people that are criticizing the very law enforcement officers in the United States forget that today it was Orlando. It could be the small community police department in your neighborhood mm-hmm. that people are criticizing for having M4s and AR-15s, and why do they need that? Because they're the first line of defense.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, I think the other challenge that we face here with Lance is that we're in a, I keep maintaining, we're in a microwave society that stands in front of a microwave and yells, hurry up. You know, due process gets in the way. With our own, perspectives and worldviews.
Well, you know, there's a balance there, and it's interesting. We hear people saying, well, you know, the FBI couldn't do anything. The FBI and a lot of these agencies, I believe, are getting hamstrung. You know, when I first started policing, we didn't have a Domestic Violence Act, and we learned and we changed that, and now we have temporary protective orders that can be issued in a matter of hours to protect a person from violence. So the notion that we can have someone investigated, we can have them on a watch list, we've heard terroristic threats that they've made, we've heard them aligning with groups that want to kill Americans, and we can't do anything about it, is just absolute nonsense.
Well, and to your point here, we got about 20 seconds left, Lance, is that you say the police are the first line of defense. How about us? How about we the people?
Absolutely. You know, in that 4 minutes that the average active shooter is busy, that's about how long it's going to take law enforcement to get there. People have to be able to protect themselves, especially in an age of terrorism like this.
Exactly. Lance LaRusso on Bill Martinez. Thank you, Lance.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. Natural light is the best way to wake up any room in the house. If you're redecorating this summer, refresh a dark room with these tips.
Y'all don't have to burn your budget to bring that sunny, summery feeling into every corner of your home. One trick we use to open up a space is to hang mirrors across from the south and west-facing windows where the light is strongest for the best reflection. You can even attach one to the back of an old window frame to create the look of an extra window.
You'll be surprised at how much bigger and brighter the room feels. For our DIY purchases, we like to use our Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card to earn 1% cash back on every purchase. And when we shop at wholesale clubs, we earn 2% cash back for the first $2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter, which helps our renovation budget go even further.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback. bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
You've reached Bill Martinez live. Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday from 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Coming at you in over 280 markets across this great country of ours. Now also on Red State Talk Radio, who is carrying us live on their Encore channel and via shortwave. Thank you very much, our affiliate out of Nashville, Tennessee. Good to have you along with us, America. Bill Martinez here. Brent Hansen is back with us. Brent is, as he writes, a toast-obsessed nerd who, when in high school, was no less than president of the Illinois Student Librarians Association. And I got to think, if you're going to be part of the association, you might as well be president. He was also all-conference in the Scholastic Bowl and lettered in basketball and football, both for keeping statistics, he says, and was president of his own stamp collection club. I mean, you like being president, but if you're the only guy there, then you get to be president. You can be anything you want, right, Brent?
Well, and I ran it with an iron fist, too. I mean, I was the only member, but I ran it my way. That's the important thing, Bill.
Well, I also like the description. You say you spend your free time looking inappropriately intense.
I do. I have that problem. There's some of us where, I don't know if you're this way, you know, people, like, everybody thinks you're mad about something, even because you're just thinking about something. And I'm
part of the deal is when you're doing a talk show, as you do, you're constantly observing, and you're thinking about the next day's show or what bit you can use. And, yeah, I mean, I get blamed for that as well. I don't know that I'll steal that from you, but I kind of like that. I mean, my wife sometimes wonders and says, hey, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I'm pondering, you know. So, but I like inappropriately intense, and I think that's a T-shirt. I think that's a T-shirt. I'm not angry. I'm just inappropriately intense.
That's a good idea. I can do my next book.
I think so. I like it. Hey, good to have you back here to talk about what you're saying is America's number one problem, and I agree with you. Gosh, we have so much enmity and so much anger going on in our society, and this is something you touched, of course, in your book, Unoffendable. But You know, right now, there's no question, especially in light of this 2016 presidential election, it's like we're really scratching the itch here, aren't we?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's overt. It's like people put anger on their chest, like, again, because it's self-righteousness. It's like, I'm more angry than you are about this, and it's supposed to be counted as it makes me morally good or something. But, yeah, where everybody's outraged about everything. And to me, as somebody who's a believer in Jesus, I'm like, here's an opportunity to distinguish myself from the currents of culture and say, I'm not this way. I'm living a different way.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, I was mentioning it this morning. One of the lines in the prayer of St. Francis always stops me in my tracks. And probably the reason it does is because this is something I need to work on. When, you know, the prayer says, you know, God, you know, grant that I may not so much seek to be understood as to understand. And you can't be angry with somebody if it's not about you.
Well, that's right, because we feel anger at root is about being threatened personally. And this is the radical truth. I mean, a lot of people will hear this, and at first they're like, wait a second, I'm not supposed to get angry about everything. Like somehow it's about passivity. It's not about passivity. We still should address injustice. We should act, not just get angry. Forget the anger. The action is the important thing, to act. But for a lot of people, though, they confuse those two things. If I'm not threatened, I don't have to be angry all the time. It's right. People who are the most insecure that are the most angry. If I actually think that my, you know, the things I invest in are not even of this world, or like, God owns everything. You know, whatever you take from me, God already owns it.
Right.
I'm a lot less apt to be angry. And also bearing in mind that I too am a moral failure to the point that Jesus had to die for me. Like, I'm in a different situation now, and I'm a lot less apt to become quick to anger.
Exactly. Well, Brent, you know, to your point here, you know, the Bible says it's okay to be angry, you know, because you said, you know, am I not supposed to get angry? Well, it's a human emotion. God knows that. It says it's okay to be angry, so just don't sin. So there's part one and part two. Angry is part of the emotional makeup of our humanity, but also, you know, sin as well as failed, you know, as failed people, you know, saved by grace here. But, you know, anger is a natural emotion. It's what we choose to do with it.
It is. But a couple things about that. I think, and I would say this, I know it's provocative, and people at first don't agree with me. I know it. Because I didn't for years until I realized, wait a second, that verse that you're referring to, Ephesians 4:26, where it's like, in your anger, do not sin. People use that to justify their anger. Mm-hmm. But they don't memorize the second half of the verse. Mm-hmm. Which is, and get rid of your anger before the sun goes down.
Yes, exactly.
Like, so, yes, it's an emotion, but it's not something to be harbored. It's not something we can ever say I'm entitled to. We're supposed to drop it, mm-hmm. like immediately, that day. And then five verses later, it says, get rid of all anger. So people, we are just amazingly good at justifying our anger. The point is, yes, it happens. Fight or flight reactions happen to things. We are human. But we are supposed to get rid of it and not dress it up and say, my anger is righteous. Only God's anger, in the Bible, only God's anger is righteous. Mine isn't. Mm-hmm. I'm actually supposed to, I'm a sinner. So he's entitled to vengeance. He's entitled to anger. There's all sorts of things because he's holy that I'm not entitled to. And the Bible actually doesn't justify, as amazing as this may seem, it doesn't ever justify human anger. In fact, in James, it says there's nothing. And here's another verse no one memorizes. There's nothing about human anger that brings about the righteousness of God.
Exactly.
That's James 1:20. Nothing. So it's wisdom literature. And instead, people will somehow read the Bible and make anger into a good thing for humans to have. It's not. It's destructive. It destroys us, our relationships. We're supposed to drop it.
Exactly. Well, you know, I used to say that you get it on you. You know, when you get angry,
yeah.
And if that's what you hold on to and that becomes your companion, it's like you're wearing it like a garment. Your worldview, everything is altered. This is why, you know, God says, look, I want to give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So you got anger on one hand, you got peace on the other, where there's no loose ends. Everything is, you know, is well with you, and your worldview is associated accordingly, you know, so what's the choice? You know, you want to be this the defective individual that impairs the world around you, including your family, because anger, you've chosen anger as your best friend?
Yeah, and think about how dangerous it is to take something that's not listed. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. I mean, people are like, oh, it's good to be angry, you see. Like, well, it's not love, joy, peace, gentleness, anger, you know. It's actually in all the bad lists. It's never in the good, it's never in the good list.
Exactly.
But think about how dangerous it is, though, when people get the idea that I'm capable of righteous anger. My anger is righteous. Instead of a posture of, look, there is injustice. We have to deal with it, but not out of anger. Like, we don't want our police, the people charged with justice, we don't want our police, our military, acting out of anger. We don't want judges acting out of anger. We want them to do the right thing. And anger actually impairs our judgment to do the right thing. It doesn't help. It impairs.
Well, we're not good at it. We're really not. I mean, this is why God says, look, get away from that. I mean, you know, and how self-righteous you might say is to say, well, you know, it's righteous anger. I mean, wait, according to who?
Yeah, who gets to decide that? Like, our own hearts deceive us.
Yes.
Like, for me to go, my anger is righteous, I'm forgetting about my own sinfulness. How about this is not moral relativism. This is not, again, it's not even pacifism. I'm not a pacifist. I'm not a relativist. I believe in absolute right and wrong. I just know that I am a sinner. And I have to be humble about my capacity to assess everybody else's spiritual status before God. He's the one who knows their heart. I don't.
Exactly.
So how about if I go into life, and this is what I try to deal with in the book, is to say, how about if you decide on a daily basis, I'm going to operate in forgiveness. I know someone's going to cut me off on the interstate. I don't have to be shocked anymore at the state of man. I know they're fallen, just like I am. How about if I live in a world where just, you know what? We're broken. Humans are sinners, and I'm going to operate in forgiveness. It's incredibly freeing for people.
It is very powerful, isn't it? Unoffendable. We're talking about his book, Brent Hanson, on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us. Why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA+. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. That number again, 855-305-8326.
June is Men's Health Month, and while men may consider their weight and cholesterol this month, most men aren't aware of the attention they should also give to their bones. Osteoporosis is a lifelong disease that weakens bones over time. This makes bones more likely to break and could even lead to loss of height. Although people often associate osteoporosis with women, this disease also poses a significant health risk to millions of American men. In fact, one out of every four men over the age of 50 will experience a broken bone due to osteoporosis in their lives, greater than their likelihood of developing prostate cancer. A broken bone from osteoporosis can have a serious impact, making it difficult to get around and do things on your own. What's more, osteoporosis may not be seen or felt and can therefore go undetected until a bone breaks. It's important to understand your risk for osteoporosis and ways to manage the disease. Don't wait. Be proactive and start this conversation with your doctor today. This report is brought to you by Amgen.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, like all things in life, you know, there's got to be action, you know, that follows the idea. And you got to make the move. The challenge is make the right move, right, Brett Hansen?
Man, that is right. And anger travels so well, like from one person to the next.
Yeah, it is amazing how quick it flows, isn't it?
It does. They just did a study. It was based on the Chinese version of Twitter, interestingly, but it was at Beijing University, and they found out that if you tweet something that's angry, it can make somebody angry like 5 degrees removed. It'll retweet faster. Wow. People will retweet the retweet. But if you do something that's joyful, you know, it just kind of stops with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's something toxic about anger. I got to tell you, too, because I've done a lot of interviews with people doing talk radio in different formats.
Mm-hmm.
Part of doing talk radio is being angry, as a general rule, and they can't even imagine. Some of the hosts can't even imagine not operating out of anger. Like that's their only basis for conviction or courage. And I wanted to tell you, I appreciate that about you because you've got the audacity to actually say, "No, I don't actually need anger. I can still have conviction."
Yes,
but it's not. It doesn't have to be out of some sort of a false sense of righteous anger. I've had. Like talk radio, I was just like, what are you talking about? How can this possibly be that we're supposed to live this way?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, I guess, again, you know, my father used to always refer to me, you know, I was one of nine kids, as the perennial optimist of the family. I said, well, you know, Dad, with nine kids, you got to have at least one of them. And the other thing, early on in my broadcast career, I was very blessed to be tutored by, I believe, was one of the best program directors on the planet. His name's Chuck Bloor. And Chuck just did some outstanding things. And one of the things that he impressed me with that I carried in other areas of my broadcast career, not only on air, but even when I built sales teams and trained them, he said, Bill, your job is to elicit a positive emotional response. And he says, you want people, when they tune in, to say, hey, I'm glad I checked this out. I'm glad that I connected with Bill Martinez. And there was this sense that when Bill Martinez left, that people would miss you. And you would, at that time, you'd get this idea that maybe you deposited something in their life or encouraged them in some moment that elicited that positive emotional response. So that's something, you know, is my view, and I've thought at times, even in designing this radio show and attitude, like you say, you can go with the flow of most talk show hosts and get angry and upset, And I think we got plenty of that right now.
We
like to see ourselves be more solution based and what we can offer to make somebody's day with, you know?
Well, I like that. It's just so tempting because anger feeds our own ego. Because, again, we do feel righteous about it.
Yeah.
We do feel like, see, I've done something about it. No, you haven't done anything. You just got angry. Being a person of action is commendable. Being a person of anger, I think about being as a dad, with Father's Day coming up, I'm like, everything you just described about the kind of show you want to do is the kind of dad I want to be too. Like, I don't want to be remembered for my anger. I don't want to confuse masculinity with anger. I want to be remembered because I did things, loving things, right things, stood up for justice, disciplined my kids, not out of anger, because I love them and I have the courage of my convictions. No one wants to live with an angry person, but man, I know a lot of women that would love for their husbands to be men of action and not anger.
Exactly. And as we were talking earlier in the first segment, Brent, you can't give what you don't have. And if you don't have anything in the tank to draw from that balances out anger, that helps you hold anger in its proper perspective. I mean, it is an emotion that, God knows that we have this emotion, but we can make it a positive in terms of its motivation capability, right?
Well, I think we got to get rid of it because I think it actually impairs our judgment regardless. It may prompt us to do something good. The people have done good things for bad reasons, you know, all the time, and we don't have to make it be like a good reason. I hope that makes sense. Like, that said, the well that I can draw upon for forgiving people is the fact that I've been forgiven myself.
Exactly.
That's it. Like, you can look at other people and go, oh, they're worse than I am, but make no mistake, Jesus didn't let you do that. Mm-hmm. Like, he puts us all on the same level. We're tempted to go, yeah, but I'm not that bad. We are left knowing we're responsible for the death of an innocent man 2,000 years ago. If you really believe that, like, that you have a role in that, this makes you a more forgiving person, and it makes you less have to be angry. The mature people, the older guys and ladies I know who are truly wise, they're the ones who are not very angry.
Mm-hmm.
They realize the grace they've been shown, and they're going to forgive other people as they've been forgiven.
Yeah, to your point, Brent, they understand how much has been forgiven of them. And when you walk in the awe of that, and the understanding of that, it loses comparison. I don't know how you say, well, at least I'm not as bad. I mean, to me, it's if that is your comparative perspective, you lose something in translation. You minimize the blessing. That's why, I mean, for me, I can't think that way. I just think about, just like you said, is that when you come into the reality of how much has been forgiven of you, you're absolutely humbled, and it causes you to want to wash feet.
Totally. And also, just think about in traffic when people are driving around listening to that. If you fully breathe in, and I know we're human, it's hard to get our heads around this, and it happens, we get angry, flash of anger, but if you fully breathe in what you've been forgiven for, the next person who cuts you off, you're not going to lose it.
Right.
You're just going to be like, yeah, I know, humans, and I've done the same thing to other people. In fact, I wish I had a neon sign in the back of my parking lot to light up that says, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I just cut you off or whatever, but I've done things to people. And when you live in that reality, you're more apt to not get thrown by the stuff that you're not going to be shocked anymore, which is another thing. In people's vocabulary, you'll hear it. They'll say, I can't believe what my dad said. I can't believe what my mom said. And I'm like, how long has your mom been saying stuff like that? Oh, 54 years. Okay, well, go ahead and believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's on us now. We're continually shocked that other humans are selfish or other humans do things that are wrong or say things. Like, at some point, we got to wise up and go, this is the nature of man. This is the nature of myself. I've been forgiven. I'm going to extend it to other people.
Yeah. And when you have those moments of less than, when you fall yourself, find yourself, falling back, to the yesterdays of the less than realization of your maturity and your grace understanding, You know, what helps me, Brent, is a quick sense of forgiveness. I want to get it before God as quickly as possible and get it off me so that it doesn't take root and give place to more, you know, to more anger and things that are not that are not engaging, that are not that are not a blessing. I mean, we're blessed to be a blessing. You know, why choke that off, right?
Yes, here's the problem. Like, we're so aware of stuff that goes on, we can get angry about 50 news stories today. I mean, I could literally just scroll through Yahoo's news feed and get angry about everything, and angry about the way it's presented.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million things, which is just the point. Like, really, do you think it's your job? Do I think it's my job to be angry about everything that's happening in the world that's unjust? Some people actually think it is. Like, they think that's their job as a Christian, for instance, is to be upset and offended by every sin that's happening around the world. And what a miserable way to live. It also assumes way too much control. It forgets that we, too, are sinners. But just on a daily basis to go, wait, I know the way the world is. I can't live this way. I can't let this get to me like this. I have to operate in forgiveness. It doesn't make what's happening okay. It's still abhorrent. It's still a horrible thing. It still could be a crime or awful. I'm thinking of the Orlando thing that happened this weekend, but there's a million things in the news around the world.
Like, exactly.
I can't live like that. I've got to be in a role of forgiveness. And then lamenting, I think it's fair to lament and grieve the state of the world and then try to be a healer in the midst of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but do that. I mean, you know, Brent, you have children. I mean, I have children. I have grandkids.
Yeah.
Our ninth grandchild is on the way. And you think about, you know, what type of America, what type of world is that child entering into?
Yeah. Well, I want to act on that. I don't want to tweet about it necessarily. And they've actually done a study about social media and found that the people that tweet or Facebook and they're angry about things tend to act less than the people who don't.
Interesting.
They won't get as involved in the cause. They won't give. They won't sacrifice their own money, because I guess in our own minds we feel like we've done something because we got ticked.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Because
yeah,
it's just righteous anger. You know, wow, hey, yeah. Look at me.
Well, it says a lot about the depth of one's character, doesn't it?
It does. I want to be a person who addresses these things. I look at people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther King Jr., for example. They did not believe that there was a righteous anger accorded to humans in the Bible. Both of those guys. And yet they both acted.
Yes, exactly.
Bonhoeffer, out of love for the defenseless, for the innocent, tried to assassinate Hitler. Obviously, Martin Luther King Jr. did a lot of action. But it wasn't out of anger. It was
exactly
unimpeded.
He well, Brent, I'm sorry. We've got to wrap this up. Brent Hansen on Bill Martinez Live. Go to BrentHansen.com for more info.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.